Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Body and the Beast podcast. Coming straight into your ears for the next few hours are your awesome hosts, Dan Meredith and Jamie Alderton.
Hello, folks, and welcome to another episode of the Body and the Beast. I am your body, Jamie Alderton.
And I am what is hoping, from your perspective, dear listener, is a crisper sounding Dan Meredith.
Because somebody... Christmas sounding.
Mate, I haven't been on the fucking... the cakes that much, so I'm going to look like Father Christmas, mate. No. after being, let's just say, politely told that my AV setup was shite by a certain co-host of mine, it gave me the excuse to go and buy new toys. So I've got loads of new gadgets and toys and all sorts of things plugged into my little home recording studio, which hopefully will result in a better experience for you, dear listener, and won't have Jamie give me what you can't see, because obviously we record this on video and then take the audio out to give to you what only be described as the look.
I think the thing is, it's so difficult to get audio because how it sounds to you and how it sounds to... other people, it is very, very different. And also, I'd argue sometimes, you know, the sound can be echoing and but still very impactful. Because sometimes when you're trying to get your point across and, you know, you want to have a bit of a rant, and this is, you know, me really looking at the changes in social media in 2024, is people want more real and raw. So normally when, you know, the audio is good, but maybe a little bit echoey and this, you know, but sometimes it's more impactful. And that's what, you know, I found, as long as the audio is good. And the audio is good, of course, but it can, you know, it can always be better. But
I don't need an excuse to buy fucking gadgets. I love gadgets and I love tech and I have all of the toys and I want more of them. But it is not audio technology reviews with Dan and Jamie. It is the body and the beast. And we've got a topic that I think, you know, both me and Jay have experienced a little bit lately. I think you will have experienced it at some point. And I did a live stream in one of the coaching groups I run, and I thought it was a really useful topic. And that is the concept, the art, the philosophy, the mindset, and the practicalities of overcoming resistance. Now, where does this come from, Jay?
Well, this comes from a very short book, a very impactful book called The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield. And the reason that the book is so popular, firstly, you can pretty much read the book in 45 minutes. It's a really good book. And secondly, what he manages to do is he manages to give something which we all struggle with a name. And I've done this for many, many years, and that's why I resonated it so much with a lot of my fat loss challenges. What I always say to people before we start is that you need to give your hunger a name, because people become irrational when they're hungry. They become emotional, they become, you know, argumentative. But if you can put a name to it, you can understand it better and understand that, hey, you know, Derek's being a dick today. And it actually then kind of creates this kind of third person, which allows you to deal with it better. And it's very much like when you go to a doctor and you're not feeling well, and then they go, oh, you've got this. Now, it doesn't mean that you feel that you're cured or that it doesn't feel any worse having it. But once you give a name to something, it becomes, there's a little bit of relief there. And what resistance is about is this natural reaction of knowing that you need to do something, knowing that it's important, knowing that it's potentially going to change your life, but for some strange reason, you're not fucking doing it.
It generally often sucks a bag of dicks as well. It's something that, quite frankly, you don't want to do. You know you need to do it. It's probably going to involve more time, more effort, more energy than you realistically think. But you, having been pre and post pushing through resistance, I know, and me and Jay are going to talk about why we're both experiencing a little bit of this right now in our respective worlds. It is a positive thing as well. But I know if I push through, quote, the resistance, the other side is often a happier, more successful, clear, more impactful version of me and my businesses. But it doesn't make when I'm going through that resistance any more pleasurable.
Oh, not at all. I mean, I'm going through a lot of resistance this week. I got my book back from publishers. And they're like, oh, cool. If you could just get it back this Friday. And, you know, I'm looking at this Word document with 169 pages with like pretty much the most amount of grammar mistakes, of course, me writing it, the most amount of comments and suggestions and that ever. So I'm pretty much reading, you know, probably 15 minutes a page to make sure everything's like perfect. And yesterday, you know, talk about resistance, but I managed to do it. I read about 96 pages and I almost lost my mind because I started at half five. And I was like, why is the page going like all blurry? And I looked at it, it was like 4:30 in the afternoon. I was like, okay. Because
I've sat here for 11 hours.
Yeah, and I shouldn't have done. And that was a massive mistake from my heart. I should have, you know, allowed myself to do it. But then what happens with that, of course, Dan, is I end up getting resistance with other things. So it was really hard. It was a lot harder to get up this morning. I did a massive hard jiu-jitsu session, but then I went to the gym. I did 3 deadlifts, 2 dips, and I was like, I'm not even going to say no pain, no gain. I was like, nah, I'm done.
Just no gain today. Just no gain.
Just no gain. Yeah, exactly. Just no gain today. But I think one of the things that you know, I struggle with and everybody struggles with is just this. I think this resistance is this fear of change.
Oh, big time. And the fear of the unknown as well, buddy. I think there's the two of them, because for me, change is, sorry to cut you off, by the way, like change is good, but it is scary and it is fearful, because obviously when you change, there's a whole new set of variables and obstacles and there's things you've never experienced before. And it, yeah, frightening maybe is a bit of an over, you know, maybe a bit too much for it, but it's that fear of the unknown. We as humans like homeostasis. We want to stay the same.
Yeah, and one of the things is with, you know, with this kind of fear of change and everything else, and I think this is where what stops a lot of people is, what if it doesn't work? Or what if I put everything into it and I don't get a result? And this is where, you know, something that happens with resistance is what's known as a self-fulfilling prophecy. And a lot of people do this all the time. It was really interesting because I know some of our listeners don't really follow MMA, but if you do, you'll understand this very interesting thing. John Jones,
yep.
Ranked as pound for pound the best MMA fighter ever, never lost. Been in trouble with the law a hell of a lot.
He's a little scamp, isn't he?
Yeah, but one of the things that he did, which is really interesting, is every single fight, the week before his fight, so 7 days before his fight, he would go out and get absolutely wasted to like 6 o'clock in the morning. And it's like kind of weird. And you're like, why would you do that when you're a week out from, you know, defending your heavyweight title? And what he said is he did that because if he did lose, he would have something to blame it.
That's quite clever.
And I thought that was genius, because that in itself is resistance at a world level.
Mm.
Because that is not, you know, very fortunately, he won his, you know, his fights. But that is a form of self-sabotage. That is a form of what people do, as in they're like, oh, it might not work, so I won't put the effort in to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, it doesn't work. And then you solidify the fact that I shouldn't even try.
Place. Yep.
100%. But the weird thing that I found funny about him is he said that he only, in one fight, he decided not to drink 7 days before and he almost lost the fight.
So there you go. Like, that's not weird. Top tip from Dan and Jay. If you've got something really important a week before, just get fucked up.
And I'll tell you what, I have had those kind of self-sabotage moments in the past, very much so with things like that. And I think, once again, it's this resistance. It's this thing of going, Joe, what? Like, I'm going to self-sabotage. I'm going to do something which will pretty much guarantee I won't do this, because at least I can blame it on that.
Yeah.
And once again, it's this fear of going, you know, what if I put everything into this and it doesn't work? Mm. Without failing to realize that if you put everything into something and it doesn't work, two things will happen. One, you're either going to realize that that wasn't the thing, and that's a good thing because you've reduced your options down. Or two, you're going to learn so many lessons from giving it your all that you're going to get some amazing takeaways. So the next time you attempt it, you're not going to make these big fucking mistakes that you made the first time around.
Yeah, and those mistakes might be, you know, financial mistakes. You know, you might have invested in something, could put your money into a new business or a new product or some coaching or something. I don't know what it could be, but it could be financial. Those ones I personally have found have been easier to bounce back from. As a, you know, for those of you who are listening, obviously me and Jay are business owners. We run our own companies and businesses and coaching platforms and so on and so forth. So we are in a position which I feel very fortunate to be in. So if I need to, let's just say, hustle up something, I've got, you know, big email list, decent following, clients, I've got really, really good connections. If I need to, fingers crossed, don't ever need to, I can go out and hustle and make some moves, okay? So for us, those financial investments, even though they're still risky and we still do make them, yet they smart a little bit because nobody likes wasting money for the sake of it, but we can, if we need to, go and hustle up some things. And you might be listening, you might be able to do the same too. But what I found has been the hardest thing, you know, the kind of the what if it doesn't work. It's not the financial side of things. It's the more sort of like social embarrassment, you know, what will others say thing is the often the voice that I find appearing in the back of my head. That's my resistance. You know, what if it fails? What if it doesn't work? What if people don't show up to it? What if people don't buy it? What if people aren't interested? All of this kind of head trash spinning around in my head. And then I have to look back and I literally have to catch myself. I do this. It's like a policeman putting his hand out to stop you, like a traffic stop. I go, ah. When my brain starts to do its thing and I go, stop it, brain. And I literally, I have been caught in public doing that. I go, ah, stop it. And I'm literally like telling off a naughty dog, which is actually my brain and my conscious mind just racing off on a direction. So even the best of us have these moments where we get these self-doubt things about the things that happen. But I always look back when I have these, and I take time to reflect. And we're both, you know, you are as well, Joe, we're both big fans of spas and walking. And, you know, for me, when I have one of those moments, I'll try and disconnect from my phone, disconnect from the world, even for a little bit, just try and get myself away and just have a think and write things down, okay? And then I go through all the times where I felt exactly like this and it did work. You know, I did that with the Gary Vee event, the best marketing event times infinity plus one ever that, you know, you were good enough to join me on. Back in 2016, I did it with my book. We did it with our first podcast. We had no idea that was going to be as successful as it was. You know, my coaching groups, my mastermind, everything. Those are things that have worked. So has everything worked? No, but if I don't try and if I don't push through this shitty bit where it does all seem like, what the fuck am I doing? What is the point? And just keep fucking going. If I don't do that, I might not get the right answer, which is, oh, it fucking worked. That was fantastic. I'm so glad I did that. That version of me doesn't exist yet. He's not here. Right now, this version of me is pushing through the resistance. We all have to do it. But if I stop now, if I just say, fuck it, I'm not going to give it my all. I'm not going to send all those messages. I'm not going to reach out to people. I'm not going to keep promoting and pushing and talking about it because I truly fucking believe in what I'm doing. If I just go, fuck it, not going to do it, which I can do if I want to. That is something I can do. I'll lose a deposit on an event, for example, is what I'm talking about now, and a bit of face. Okay, but ultimately, I could just say, fuck it, if I don't want to do it. But I know that's not who I am deep down. And I always, always push through and always, always find a way to make it work. I almost don't want to say it, 'cause it's kind of like what you said about the John shows. If in some way, though, it doesn't work, okay? And it doesn't work to some perceived level that I want it at, what I've got then is data and information about what didn't work, what can I learn from it, what big lessons can I get? And we spoke about this in a previous podcast. Often some of the best lessons you get are from losses, are from when you failed at things, are from when things didn't go your right way. You know, I'm very happy to admit this. And obviously, you know, Jay's one of my closest friends, been very honest with each other. You know, I'd had a couple of, you know, relationship issues. You know, things hadn't gone to plan, but lovely people, didn't go to plan with them, just didn't work out. But then it also, you know, those quote failures allowed me to realize what I was doing wrong. I, you know, maybe picking the wrong sort of people. There's some certain areas I need to work on, certain type of person I need to. And I've now met someone absolutely fucking wonderful. But I had to learn from those negative experiences, you know, emotionally in this case, so I could have a positive experience now. That took, you know, a decent chunk of time. But I'm glad I went through it now, because now me is having this great experience. Past me didn't much so, but I had to keep pushing through and doing the work on myself and on my own thoughts and what I was looking for and getting really clear on that first. So I could, that was my resistance there, and I pushed through it and I'm in a great place. But you've got to keep going.
I think the most important thing as well is, you know, it's all very well I'm going to say you've just got to push through. But I think one of the most important things is to notice when you are experiencing that resistance. Yeah, when we talk about emotions, and we've spoken about this in a previous episode, it's like, understand what anxiety actually feels like. So you can go, oh, this is anxiety. Understand when you're starting to feel depression. Oh, this is depression. Understand when you are feeling nervous. Oh, this is, you know, nerves. And people just don't understand are in tune with their emotions. I'm highly in tune with this resistance because very much I catastrophize things in my head. And I think every single business owner has probably said this, and I think we've spoken about this at least once a week. Why don't I just burn it all to the ground, fire everyone, get my laptop, and then I don't know, just get back to work with just, you know, this, that, and the other. And you know, people always have that in their head, just like that. We can always just burn it down to the ground and start again. And it's just like, that's not the option. Yeah, that's really not.
It is an option, but it's not the right option. And it's the option, you know, I was speaking to a member of my team earlier today when we were recording, and we got on the call. We had this call booked in our diary, and we started talking about the event and some of the things we're doing. We were actually supposed to talk about another project because I decided to, as I think I said this on a previous podcast, run five things all at once. My brain completely forgot about it. And at the time I was like, you know, fuck it. Let's just put a pin in it. Let's leave it for now. But that was me making a decision based on my emotions there and then, feeling this, you know, pressure and resistance and stress, which is all healthy and all normal. And it's all something that, as a business owner, you have to be able to tolerate stress. You just have to at periods of time. Okay. And I remember saying to her, I said, oh, and I caught myself and I said, I'm making a decision based on what I'm thinking and feeling right now. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put on my Fred Again playlist, which I fucking love. Okay. And I'm going to go for a loop around the river where I live, and I'm going to buy myself a little cake. And I'm just going to get my head back in the game because I was focused on the wrong things. Give her a call when I come back. Said, right, let's do it then. Sometimes you do have to just take that pause and disconnect yourself from what's going on if you are feeling the resistance, and be mindful of your triggers. So I've got a question for you, Jay, because I'll share mine afterwards. What do you, when you are this resistance, that you're, when you're going through it, you know, the buildup of stress and pressure and things, not necessarily not going your way, but they're not there yet. What do you notice? Like, what are your triggers? What do you see yourself doing or not doing when you're feeling it? So it'd be quite good to share what we feel and then what we do off the back of it.
So when I'm feeling a lot of stress and tired, I literally pile things up in my head.
Okay.
So I pile up all the things I've got to do. I pile up all the things that need to be done. I pile up all the things that need to be changed. And it's this massive weight on my head and my heart of going, it needs to be done now. And I catch myself with this and go, whoa, 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 whoa. Why are you feeling like this right now? Why are you feeling like burnt out? And then I review why I'm feeling like that. And 9 times out of 10, it's like, because you've just spent 11 hours on your laptop reading without coming up for oxygen. It might be because, you know, you haven't been doing your normal routines that you normally do. You know, you go to bed at 9 and, you know, the last week you've been going to bed at 10. And, you know, that extra hour means that you've had like 6 hours less sleep. And these are all obvious things, but we don't look at the obvious. We think that there's something wrong with us when in actual fact, a lot of it's down to our habits and routines. Something that we spoke about before with the podcast is about neurogenesis and the ability to develop brain cells and to build new ones in the hippocampus. And what is the hippocampus responsible for? Problem solving. So when you're fucked, it's hard to problem solve. What do you need to do all the good things that help you improve and strengthen your problem solving, which is getting enough sleep, eating good quality food, having rest days,
yeah,
and not putting too much pressure on yourself. You don't need to have all the answers.
Well, for me, so I'm going to come back to that because you said some, and it's dovetailed in exactly with what I've been doing this week. So for me, things that I will notice, I mean, I will have a, you know, when I'm going through these like resistance phases and this like periods of stress, I will find myself not wanting to go. I love boxing and I love lifting. Okay. I like hitting stuff and lifting stuff. Okay. And I'll find myself coming up with excuses to not do it. I will notice myself staying up later and consuming just dog shit nonsense on reels or memes or basically just literally consuming nothing wholesome at all. And I'll just literally distract my mind. I will find myself picking up snacks. So I'm pretty good. Obviously, I don't, you know, look like the Adonis that is the body, but, you know, as beasts go, I'm pretty happy with what I'm bringing to the table. But I will find myself just saying, you know, I'll have like my meal plan for the day and I'll just get in a pizza. I'll just pick one up on my walk, just pick one up from Tesco's, or I'll grab, you know, two or three or four chocolate bars. Like having, you know, a pizza from time to time or a chocolate is not bad, but I'm like, I'll do four in a go. And I'll find myself just eating and basically I'm not consuming good stuff. And the final thing you've already touched on it is I'll notice my sleep get affected, which will then mean I end up using more coffee. I'm not having a proper morning routine where I have with the electrolytes and, you know, give myself time. And then it's this kind of vicious cycle of feeling tired, feeling more stressed, not feeling rested enough. My brain's not thinking clear enough. And I don't really get snappy or arsy, to be honest with you, but I can just notice I'm not feeling good. So when I'm going through it, first thing is, and me and Jay have spoken about this before, and I'm showing this to Jay on the camera now, but basically I've got my Aura ring. I know you have a variety of trackers and things you use, but for me, it's the one that I just leave it on. It's simple. And if you don't know what an Aura ring is, it just tracks your sleep quality, your heart rate variability, and your movement, okay? But just the simple act of wearing it, because I don't wear rings or jewelry or anything, I can feel it. It's on my hand all day long. The act of wearing it makes me set myself up from an intentional point of view that I want to consume good quality nutrition, that I want to get to bed. For me, I'm at a later start. So for me, I get to bed about 10. I have about an hour to get my brain to unwind. I usually listen to a podcast or some music and then I fall asleep. But I'm very intentional about it. And I'm also looking at data as well to do it. But once I get my sleep sorted, then I can start looking at my schedule and my diary and my plan. And what I have found, it's so simple. I'm sure we've spoken about this before, but I spoke to my boxing coach and my team and a couple of clients because I had a few people who are like slightly in the morning. I now have 8 till 10, non-negotiable. That is my work on the business, do the things time. Okay, so before I start helping other people, creating content, replying to messages, I do the work that I need to do. Now, I need to do more than 2 hours work a day, but in that 2 hours, I'm covering off all the things that I need to do to keep me pushing through this period, you know, a period of resistance, and a period of stress, and when there's a lot going on. But if I have distraction-free, like no phone, phone is in the other room, I put my music on, and then put it in the spare room, come into the dining room where often works, it's nice and light, get on with my work, and I just literally give myself 2 hours of planned work. So I come to the table with a plan of what I'm going to do, and I just do it. Even if I get to, let's just say, the end of the day or middle of the day, if it's a half day I'm working, I know I need to push through. But if I'm really struggling or I really need a rest or I just need to decompress a little bit, I can give myself that time knowing that I've done what I needed to do in the morning. It's done. And then I can refresh myself and attack it back tomorrow. And that 1 to 2 hour block at the start of the day or wherever you can fit it in, one of the most useful bits of advice I give to people is just carving that time out to do the work.
Yeah, and I think that's so important to have that kind of process where, yeah, for me, a lot of anxiety comes from knowing I've got to do stuff and then unable to do it because of other things. Yeah. And that's one of the things where sometimes I then end up going to extremes where I'll say to Anna, right, I'm going to my office for 4 hours on a Sunday. And then I come back and because there's things I wanted to do, but then I've got distractions from kids and everything else. And it's just like that really, like knowing that something needs to be done and, you know, unable to do it. And it's like, right, I just get a bit funny and I just need that 2 hour block, that 3 hour block just to get those things kind of planned, prepped and ticked off. And once I've got that, it's like, phew. And, you know, a lot of that comes down to not wanting to let people down,
big
being
time.
A man of my word. If I say something is going on or something's going to happen, actually making sure that it's not only going to happen, but it's good. And yeah, that is a big fear of mine, that I, you know, launch something or create something that's crap, you know, and because I think it's disrespectful to the people that are, you know, that are using that product or service or, you know, expecting that from me. You know, this is a, you know, it's a standard that I've always set for myself. And that's what gives me my confidence that, you know, if you pay me for a job, if you join one of my programs, that you're not going to be disappointed because of the level of shit that I give about those things, and the pride that I have in my work, probably why I do, you know, work so fucking much with things, just checking on things and making sure that it's good.
Mate, that's really good. And the thing is, it's like, it can be so easy to get stuck in the day-to-day as well. And I had a client the other day, new coaching client that I'm working with one-to-one, and I asked them to send me a check-in. So each week, so when I start, I usually start with like two calls. The first one is what I call a clarity call, and it's for me to ask a lot of questions. So I pull all the stuff out of them. And then the second call is generally the strategy call. So we come up with what our overarching strategy is going to be and maybe a couple of tactics that we're going to work on straight away. But within those two calls, I've generally got what I need from them and given them what they need. So we're ready to go. And I do a check-in every week. And I sent this person, so I have six questions that I ask. It's the same six every week with a little bit of a personal touch on it, depending on what it is we're doing. And I called her, because I think she got my record for the longest ever check-in. And it was like, you know, so I've got an iPhone 13. It was 13 full screens long and of just words. And I'm obviously more than happy to help and do that. And I rang her up and we went through a few bits. And I said, you know what? There were so many things she could do. And she loved it. And she's messaged me since. She was like, that was the best decision I made. I said, you need to have a day off. And you need to go away. And I obviously did more than this. Just have a day off. That's my coaching. Just, yeah, have a day off. But get all of this out of your head again. And we went through all the things she needed to do. We put them into an order. But I said, you then need to go away and get all this information, do all this work. You need a day away from the day to day, much like you had on your Sunday the other week, where you can get things out of your head, create things, write things, put the content together, reach out to the people, send the emails. I said, look, it's going out on a Monday, okay? It's fine, perfect, just get it done. Take the day off. She runs a commercial business as well. Like, you haven't had a day off for 2 and a bit years. I said, you can have a fucking day off. Have a Monday off, go in on Sunday, go somewhere, have a nice glass of wine, have a nice lunch, whatever, do something, sit down, write your plan out. So get the plan that we put together, write it down so you're clear what you're gonna do on that next day, and then go and do it, okay? And have that day off, you know? In between, so the next 4 weeks are a really big push because my event's on the 13th of April, which is a Saturday. So it's a big push, but I've made sure every week on a Wednesday, I have a half day. I finish it around about sort of late lunchtime and I go to the spa that I like going to. I sit down with my notepad. I get all the stuff out of my head that I need to do. I make a few calls, send a few messages. I do all of that, sit in the spa for a little bit, clear my head, which often helps me come back out, finish off any more notes, and I'm done. But having that time carved out when you're going through shit to make sure you're still on track, doing the right things, is really fucking useful.
Yeah, it comes back to the quote that I always say, you can't see a label when you're stuck inside the jar. And some people are deep into that, in that jar, not wondering why they can't figure it out. And it's one of the most counterintuitive things as well, because it sounds stupid that to get more done, you need to do less, but it's 100% true. It's just, you know, I just remind you of that meme where it goes, it's Friday, fuck this shit.
Yeah. You know, oh, then it's like, they pick the papers up, oh, I need these things.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and it's sometimes just go, fuck this shit. And I always catch, I mean, it's great to catch yourself with kids because they, like, I can sit and talk about the whys to Anna, why I need to go in on a Sunday, this, that, and the other. But when you're negotiating with a four-year-old, he does not give a fuck what I have to do whatsoever. He's just like, no, you're not. No, no, I don't want you to. No, no. And it's just like, well, it's kind of kind of, yeah, and it just reminds you that, you know, actually the most important thing is that this little 4-year-old reminding you of what the most important thing actually is.
Yeah.
So sometimes it is going, fuck this shit, it will be fine, we'll figure it out later. And actually, because you've had the rest, you end up figuring it out later.
And
so.
I'll say, you've just given me a good idea there. Like, if you are, you know, like me and Jay are, you know, business owners, but obviously a lot of what we do is creative. You know, we have to come up with content and videos and podcasts like you're listening to now. So there's a large creative side to what we're doing as well. And if you have that creative side, you do actually need to create space to be creative. It's really, you know, if you are going through this period of resistance, and if you are, you know, you're putting content out there and you're using social media and all this kind of stuff, you actually need time to think about the things you're doing and get clear and focused and actually allow your brain to actually come up with ideas and hooks and angles and content, all that kind of stuff. It's really difficult to do if you don't carve that time out. And I found that, you know, especially because me and Jay pretty much show up every day on social media in one form or another, if I don't have that time allocated aside to sort of be creative and have some downtime, my creativity is shit and I end up churning out stuff, which is just not my best work, and I don't want to do it. But if you are creative, understand that this resistance, this pushback, if you're, you know, trying to create a product or a service or a new tier to your business, or you just want to maybe, you know, do what me and Jay do, you want to go on social media, put podcasts out, it doesn't fucking matter. Understand that that little voice, that voice of resistance, is going to turn up, and it's going to turn up more often than you think. And it's going to tell you, like we were saying at the start of the podcast, this won't work. What are you doing? Why bother? Who are you to do X? Whatever kind of head trash you may do. If me and Jay had have thought that, we wouldn't be talking to you now. I mean, if you go back to our roots, and I'm not speaking, you know, less of either of us here, you know, me and Jay, realistically, outside of the work we did prior, myself and corporate Jay in the military, were two personal trainers who wanted more. You know, I started a little bit older than Jay, I'm a little bit older than Jamie. You know, I went online, did my own business and had my own gym. I think I was 31, I'm 43 now, so it's 12 years ago. Then I started doing the online thing, and part of me thought, like, who am I to do this? But then I thought, well, other people have done this. How hard can it be? And was it easy? No, not in the fucking slightest. But was it worth it? Yeah, it was. And I had multiple times where I kind of thought to myself, who are you to be doing this? Why would anyone listen to you? You know, you're nothing. You're just some PT from Somerset who's done this online bit. And I had multiple times, and mine often came downside with drink. So I'd have to silence that little voice, and I chose often to Grey Goose to just kill that little fucker dead. Because I would often find myself really working myself up into a ball of like stress and anxiety about worried about putting myself out there and doing these things because of, you know, what if it failed? What if I look stupid? What if I fucked up? What if I wasn't able to do whatever? And I do not recommend the Grey Goose. I mean, I like Grey Goose. From memory, Grey Goose was delicious. It was both of our sort of favorite vodka, I believe. We had more than a couple of nights on it. But I don't recommend, you know, drunking yourself into a stupor to get through it. But understand that it is normal, and pretty much every successful person I've ever met, and I've coached some really successful people now over the years, bar a couple of genuine sociopaths, and I don't mean that in a malicious way, they just don't feel things and don't have that worry. They're doing really fucking well, both of them as well, the two people I know have been diagnosed as that. But most normal people have this inner voice, this conversation, and these moments of what the fuck am I doing? Who am I? I don't deserve X, whatever. And you just got to find a way to just, if you can't silence it, at least quieten that voice a little and find your own ways of keeping going.
Yeah, and it's funny how that voice shuts the fuck up when you keep showing up.
Yeah, that's really true, mate.
And that's the reality, you know, like, I have these thoughts and feelings all the time, but it's just like, yeah, but you're still going to turn up tomorrow, Jay, aren't you? It's like, yep. And that's where my confidence comes from. Because I've said it before, you can't fail if you don't give up.
And it might take a while. It might take longer than you think. But I remember having a chat with, you know, my mentor, God, 10 years ago. And he said, you know, would you give up the next 5 years of your life to a degree. It doesn't not like sacrifice it, but, you know, would you put in all the hours, do all the work, you know, do crazy hours, crazy shit, basically? And I said, yeah. And that 5 years of work has given me 7, 8, 9 years of a really good life, really good business. I've helped thousands of people, you know, hundreds of thousands, if you include my book, or millions, if you really wanted to go that way. And I know you have too, with your content and your views. But if we'd have listened to that little voice, you know, I wouldn't be getting messages from people who've turned their life around, who have built business out of nothing, who can now afford to pay their bills. And I had one person, I don't say this lightly, and if, you know, if this is something that triggers anyone, I do apologize, but someone who decided not to end their life because they read my book. Also, they listened to my book on Audible on the day they were planning on doing it. They just, it popped up, they gave it a listen, they were planning on not being here anymore. And I'm like, my tone of my voice has changed, because it still gets me a bit emotional that someone, you know, was able to still be here from, you know, listening to me talk, which is nuts. And I'm not saying that's obviously what I'm here to do, but I'm beyond touched. And all that, you know, I see your comments, and, you know, other comments. I've got thousands of messages about my book over the years. It's insane. And, you know, the work I've done. But if I'd have listened to that little voice and the resistance that stopped me, I wouldn't have helped those people. That's it. I wouldn't have done it. Now, you listener may not want to do the sort of things that me and Jay do, but you kind of don't know until you do it. You don't know where things are going to take you, what relationships it's going to lead to, what connections, how it's going to change your business, how it's going to change your life. But you do have to find a way to not allow the resistance to stop you. It can slow you down and it can make you change things and do things. But if you stop, as Jay said, you ain't going to get anywhere.
I think I want to finish on something that's so important, which once again, people do not do. And something that you're a massive fan of, Dan, and it's writing shit down. Science has already proven how powerful journaling is. And what it is it's just getting shit out of your head and onto a piece of paper or a whiteboard and just brain dumping it out, getting it fucking out. And it helps so much with business, with relationships, with life. You know, seeing it there in front of you rather than going round and round and round in your head is so, so powerful, because you're like, oh, okay, that's a lot of fucking... Yeah, I'm looking at my whiteboard now because I do it a lot. I'm a big fucking white. And I'm like, oh, that's a lot of shit. Yeah. But it's no longer in my head.
Yeah.
So now we can start to kind of structure it out and plan it out. And, you know, and then suddenly you feel like you've got momentum, you've got a plan. Yeah. And there's always a plan for everything. Everything that you're trying to do in your life has already been done by somebody else. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to realize that there are people out there that can help you achieve those things. But they can only help you if you're firstly honest with yourself about what it is that you want to achieve. And secondly, that you actually reach out and ask.
And I'll just sort of close on this, because it's our podcast and we can do what we want. If you would like to meet myself or Jay, we spoke today a couple of times about the various events that we're put on. So I am putting on an event on Saturday the 13th of April in Bristol. So if you'd like to spend some time with myself, 10 other experts, we are covering everything from social media, marketing, sales psychology, relationships, wellness, book writing, product launches. There's more. There's a lot more. I just can't remember it right now, but it's called the Extravaganza. Okay. So last time I did this one, I think you were speaking at it, Jay, in Brighton. So it's going back a few years. I'm bringing the kind of the brand and the concept back. It's in Bristol. We've got after sort of party, for a better place, a better word, at the place where it's being held at as well. There are tickets available still as of this recording. It's going to be a really good day. The people speaking are all world-class experts at what they are doing. And you can either shoot me a DM on Instagram. It's @TheRealDanMeredith, or it's coffeewithdan.com/event. So if you'd like to meet me in person and learn from some experts and myself, have a day to yourself. And if you run your own business, you can write this off for tax as well. It is an investment in yourself. Please come along to it. And I will also be at Jamie's event as well. And if you'd like to tell us a little bit about that, Jay.
Yeah, so twice a year, I catch up with hundreds of people and we go through an event which is focused on you. We're going to be reviewing the last 90 days of the year. We're going to be setting a plan in place for the next 90 days so you're clear on what it is that you're doing. And then we're going to be spending an afternoon really learning some techniques that's going to help you reduce your stress, face your fears, and feel awesome. And we've got a yoga flow session, we've got a mindfulness session, we've got an immersive breathwork experience, which is a very out-of-body experience, which is going to be incredible. And then we're going to be finishing off with ice baths. So it's going to be a fantastic day. And if you want a ticket, here's what I want to say to you. If you're listening to this, you're one of the few percentage of people who actually listen all the way through podcasts. So if you DM me on Instagram these words, Jay, give me my half price ticket, I will send you a link and give you one half price. So that is my offer.
And when is it again, buddy? And where?
It's on Saturday, the 30th of March. So the end of this month, if you're listening to this in the month of March. If not, you've missed it. Tough luck. And it's on from 10 a.m. till 4 p.m. at Leicester Tigers Rugby Club in Leicester.
Awesome. So that's it from us. We shared our thoughts on the resistance today. Hope you've got some value through it. If you are feeling the resistance, as best you can, lean in, and I hope you got some value from our words today.
But, ladies and gents, as always, I really hope you enjoyed today's episode. I have been your body, Jamie Alton.
And I've been your beast, Dan Meredith. Take care.